Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally, markets and company news. It's a Thursday evening. That means Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Simon, a very good evening to you. Let's start with Impala Platinum. It's skipped an interim dividend. Profit is slumping. We have spoken before about the pressure on PGMs.
Evening, Jeremy. We absolutely have, and it is absolutely tough. I think there's a lot of moving parts here. Overall production was down a bit, although sales were up because they had some inventories. Costs were increasing, but only a little bit, not too bad in that regard. But the two numbers that really stand out for me is that their rand revenue per ounce of they call it 6E, so blended ounce, just under 24,000, yet their cost of production is just under 21,000. They're making 3,000 rand per ounce, and it is a huge amount of effort to be making what is truthfully a modest amount of money. To their credit, and we've seen this with Anglo Platinum as well, and to a lesser degree, Sibanye, they are at least profitable even at this point in the cycle. Prices are still under pressure. We're not seeing any life, and they do say that there might still have to be some more restructuring that happens. And that really is, the industry needs one or two things to happen, either for demand to pick up, and that just hasn't happened yet. If that doesn't, you've got to pull supply out, and that's what they mean when they say, you know, revisiting, restructuring.
The share price is down today, but not too badly.
No, not at all. We all saw it. I mean, you and I have been chatting about poor PGM results now for, I don't know, a year or more. So the stock's off only 1%. The market pretty much is expecting these. These don't come as surprises. If there is going to be a surprise, it'll be to the upside. But I think we're some ways away from seeing that starting to happen.
Let's move on to Barlow World. We've spoken again in the past about the proposed buyout. It's a consortium led by a group in Saudi Arabia. It would have resulted in a full buyout of all ordinary shares, and I think a delisting from the JSE, but no support at the AGM. So back to the drawing board, if the drawing board is still there.
Yeah, I mean, no support. You need 75% because this is ultimately a special resolution. They got in the mid to high 30%. There were two votes to remunerate the independent board, and then on the actual delisting itself, neither came particularly close to passing. The deal was pitched at 120. One of the large shareholders was saying, nope, we want 130. And I got to say, at the time, I really didn't think the extra 10 rand was going to make such a big difference in Barlow World's life. They decided it did. It didn't increase the offer price, and it has absolutely failed. They do have a standby offer, so they will say to shareholders, you know what, we will take the shares at 120 if you want to sell at that price. I think they might get some good take up on that, and that would then give the consortium probably around, depending what the take up is, if everyone who voted in favor offers their shares, they get almost 50%. So by a long way, the biggest shareholder, but not yet quite even a majority, and a long way from a delisting.
But Simon, a lot of governance red flags around this whole detail, particularly seeing that the consortium included a trust for the benefit of the chief executive officer's family.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. And Jeremy, we've touched on that before. And it did just, you know, if there's an offer on the table and you are essentially on both sides, that you are on one sense the CEO and you've got a fiduciary duty to get the best deal possible for shareholders, but on the other side, you're also the person, well, part of the group making the offer, who's got a duty to their shareholders to get the lowest price. It just doesn't add up. And I think that in of itself was messy. Interestingly, as I said, the large shareholder voting no was more objecting to price, but a lot of other shareholders were obviously also objecting. It might have been price, but I think the whole corporate governance was severely lacking in the process.
And sentiment about the decision is reflected in the share price today, up by just over 1.6%.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a stock. And I mean, you know, to the credit of Barlow World, when this deal was first announced, or when the cautionary was put out, rather, this was a 60 rand share. I mean, so the 120 was a good price in that regard. As I said, some shareholders said no. At 107 rand a share, I think it's looking quite rich at this point. They sell big yellow equipment in South Africa, and we know what the demand for that is. We have a very weak economy. They operate in markets like Russia. There is currently an investigation. to their credit, they alerted the American authorities around potential sanction breaches. But it's a very tough space. And I got, you know, the 120 to me looked like a good price, but I still think the corporate governance did not.
Well, talking of corporate governance, Simon, it's always a good idea to publish your annual report. Otherwise, you face being suspended from the JSE and enter stage right AO Technology Solutions.
Yeah, so AO, the JSE gives you, so interestingly, the Companies Act gives you 6 months, but the JSE is like, no, come on, 6 months is far too long a period. You get 3 months to publish your results, and this is twice a year, your interim and your year end. And then absent of that, the JSE then says, okay, we will then give you another 1 month to ultimately publish those results. And if you don't, you get suspended. And at this point, they are in breach, and the JSE has suspended the shares. As soon as the results are out, you come back to market, trading can continue. That's not a problem. But a lot of investors are going to look at this and say, just not worth the trouble. Now, I don't think that they're worth the trouble, even if they were publishing results on time. But inability to publish results is a humongous red flag, and not what we expect from any JSE listed company. I mean, our top 40 stocks can typically do it within, you know, 8 or 10 weeks of the financial year end. They're doing billions of rands of revenue and profit. This small little company can't. It's an absolute shame on them.
Note out today from MTM, expecting to report a strong performance for the financial year 2024. A company that has seen ups and downs, though, right?
They absolutely have. And they've had, I mean, the period under review includes devaluations of the Nigerian Naira, the Ghanaian Cedi, and fairly, you know, pressure on those currencies, which means that operationally you might do great. But when that money is returned to head office, i.e. Johannesburg, South Africa, it's a lot less when it is in rands. So that really has hurt them. So they talk a lot around operational performance. That's certainly doing well. Profitability doing okay. Currency hurting them. I appreciate that is beyond their what they can manage. Interestingly, they had put a request in to the Nigerian Telecommunications Authority to put through price increases to try and offset some of that currency devaluation. That has been granted, and they are busy going through that process. But that's only effective from January. So that's not going to be in this set of numbers that MTN is coming through. I still, telcos to me, hugely competitive space. I know that they're talking a lot about fintech. I don't think we're really seeing that coming through hugely at this point in time. And they've always got the capex. You know, we're all excited about 5G, but you know, 6G is just around the corner. All those things they've had to update, they're going to have to update again in a couple of years, and then a couple of years again after that.
And Simon, just finally, one of the most accurate barometers of any economy is how the auto industry is doing. And Motus reporting a 1.9 billion decline in new vehicle sales for the 6 months ending last year. And again, it's just indicative of the continued pressure that consumers are facing.
Absolutely. And there was someone on Twitter, I think it might have been Wendy Nola, was talking about luxury German vehicles, Mercedes, BMW, how sales of those have literally collapsed over the last decade, been taken up by Chinese. So where we are buying new, we're shopping down because of prices, because cars have become, you can buy a house for the price of a luxury German sedan these days. And the flip side is we're seeing a lot of move towards the second-hand car market, which is less profitable for the dealers, lower prices, lower margins. It tells exactly what's happening in our economy.
And your point is well illustrated by the success of We Buy Cars.
Absolutely. Who are selling, you know, some 14,000 cars a month, the last set of numbers. They're doing a lot of older vehicles as well. But certainly, the 2 million rand for a car just seems extreme when you could pick up a really good late model low mileage for probably a quarter of that.
Simon Brown from Just One Lap. We'll talk to you again next week. Always appreciate your time. Thank you.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.